She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I'd like to mention that the show today is sponsored in part by Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, where their business is changing lives. And as I have said on the show many times before, change lives, indeed they do. Don't forget to think about Goodwill for your holiday shopping and also as a way to support great programs in your community. Everything that they raise in their retail stores, their resale shops, goes to supporting programs for an integrated community of services for people that really need them. So it's a really, it's a Goodwill thing to do. And it's very much a perfect segue for the show that we're having today. And I do give a heartfelt thanks to all of you for joining us. Given the events of December 17th, and I said my voice would crack, and that's okay. I'm not ashamed of that in my heart. But of Sandy Hook Elementary, we decided to reschedule the show and the guests that we had previously planned to interview because, quite frankly, I couldn't do it. It's such a meaningful time to talk about change and to talk about hope and the healing that that's where our team decided we had to go. And we're so blessed because we are the home of Ben's Bells. It's called Ben's Bells. It's called the Ben's Bells Project. And Jeanette Marais is the founder, and she is here in studio with me and another very dear friend of mine who I have the utmost respect for. And could you always have to inject humor, would like to announce his running for governor, but I'm only kidding. He's going to kill me for that. But he is one of the most articulate, fine examples of an outstanding citizen, parent, son in our community, and his name is Dave Sethi. So thank you both so much for being here. You will inspire, educate, and motivate us today. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I have just a few quick announcements. Please remember to follow me on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and all those social media platforms, because the messages I share, I hope you will find important. And that's the way you'll find out about shows like this that will make a difference because of the quality of the message that these two people are here to deliver. And remember also that I am a part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, where my shows can be heard every Monday and Tuesday at Dream Vision 7 Radio at noon Eastern and at 9 Eastern, AM and PM. So I'm four times, but you can just email me about that if you get confused and you're listening on the East Coast, because today what I really want to focus on is the important content of this program. I'm going to do what I usually do, a shout out for EcoBella, and I'm certain that their founder, Sally Malanga, and their wonderful team would expect me to do just that. We don't really feel like talking about anything else in a very healthy way. So Jeanette and Dave, thank you so much for being here today. And I think for people that might not be aware of Ben's Bells, the most important place to start is your description of it and its purpose, its mission.
Well, Ben's Bells is a project that I started in memory of my son, Ben. He died 10 years ago when he was nearly three. And he died very suddenly, very unexpectedly, of a virus, of croup virus. And my world was rocked in ways I can't even describe. My family was completely devastated by his loss, and we didn't know how we were going to keep going. And quite honestly, a lot of the times I felt like I couldn't keep going, and I didn't even want to keep going sometimes. But fortunately, my family was surrounded by amazing people who came in and took amazing care of us during that time and offered us so much kindness. I mean, I can't even describe the ways, the things people did.
It's literally an outpouring is a good word.
Unbelievable.
When you visualize that,
I feel like I was being held up by many, many, many hands. And if not for that kindness, I certainly would not have survived this. But what became very apparent to me very quickly was that not only did I need those people that knew me and cared about me and knew that my son had died to treat me with gentle kindness, but I needed every single human being with whom I came in contact to be gentle with me and to treat me with kindness. But the thing is, I looked like an ordinary person on the outside. You couldn't look at me and, you know that what I was going through. And that sort of blew my mind that I could look that ordinary when on the inside I was so devastated. And during that time, anytime somebody would do an act of kindness for me, and we're talking about simple things, you know, just connections like nice eye contact and a smile or holding open a door or, you know, if I drop my keys, somebody, you know, hands them back to me or just these things that really, really, they're just connections.
They say, I see you.
Exactly. I see you. I see a need you have. And here I'm going to offer you. I'm going to do this for you. And in those moments, I felt like I could survive. You know, I knew I could survive. And that, I mean, think about the difference from feeling like I couldn't survive, feeling like I didn't want to survive, to knowing I could. That was profound. And quite frankly, I wanted to tell people. I wanted, you know, you would innocently hold open a door for me. And I would want to say to you, you know, listen, lady, I know you think you're just holding open a door and that it's, you know, a nice thing to do.
So much more.
But it's so much more. And so Ben's Bells is sort of the platform that we came up with to have this conversation. And this conversation that... is incredibly poignant, and in times like these, even more so, that there's so much power in these connections that we don't even realize, and that if we are intentional about spreading kindness in every interaction, even in interactions that are difficult, we make just a huge difference in our community. It's culture changing, really. So Ben's Bells is the way we came up to do this. And Ben's Bells are these beautiful ceramic wind chimes, and they're special.
That everybody wants.
Everybody wants them because they're special because they're made by our community. So, I mean, we have tens of thousands of visitors that come to our studios and help us make the pieces that then are assembled together to become a Ben's Bell. And then what we do with the bells is we hang them randomly, just out in public. You know, there's doesn't have to be any fanfare. We just get out there and hang those things, and people get to find them and take them home. And they have a very simple message that says, you have found a Ben's Bell, take it home and remember to spread kindness. And what, you know, we started it very, you know, very in a small way, and it was very personal, and it was a way to celebrate Ben on the first anniversary of his death. We hung out 400 Ben's Bells. That's how it started. But what we got back were stories that were unbelievable. You know, for me, it was about Ben. For my family, it was about Ben. For the people that found the bells, it was about whatever they were going through. And we heard so many stories that we were overwhelmed and so touched and so grateful that we could offer something like this to the community. That and then from there, it just sort of organically grew into what it is today. And now we've hung out 29,000 Ben's bells.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And I think when I had you on the show the last time, I remember you brought one here for me that Larry Finuff from Wells Fargo back in the day had dedicated. And I just burst into tears because the fact that someone was thinking about me was so kind and so important. I got belled. It was like I won an Oscar. And it just was, it's that quiet act of recognition or something that every human being has and needs that I will never forget it. You knocked at the door. And then the other day I was in Poco and Mom's. We were having lunch and I'm sitting there and I look up. And there's a Ben's Bells.
Oh, I love it.
And I took a picture and I put it on Facebook, of course.
Oh, good.
That's what Mrs. Green does.
And
of course,
you.
Everybody's, they're either saying, I love Ben Bells or I love Poco and Moms. So it, hit their hearts and their stomachs. So
oh,
it was,
great.
But it's what happens here and it is indeed spreading. And Dave, we'll go back and forth because that's just the way the show is going to flow. But you are, I'm not trying to flatter you and make you embarrassed, but you're a sought after board member. You are a leader in this community. Your families are leaders. Your wife is one of the most wonderful human beings I've ever known. And I've talked to her many, many times, talked to James about your family. Why are you, with, I'm sure, many sought after requests to be on boards, because you're on the board of the Children's Museum. What touched you to step up and be a board member for Ben's Bells?
Well, I want to thank you first for having us here today. This is a great pleasure because I love your show and I think you're doing wonderful things. I'm not that sought after, but being on the board of Ben's Bells is really a personal thing that I'm exceptionally proud of. And it's a board and an organization that I came to really through my children. I had known about Ben's Bells and was familiar with it through the community for the last several years. And when I would take my kids down to the university, we would often stop in the studio, have lunch and go paint for 15 minutes or half an hour. And it was a great way to spend time with my kids, young friends of theirs, and show them a little bit of what you can do down by the university and in this town. And we were always very aware of the public art aspect of it, the creativity aspect of it, the kind of family dynamic way to spend time together. As my kids moved through elementary school, I have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. They go to Manzanita Elementary School here in Tucson, which is one of the kind kids schools that we have. And throughout Southern Arizona, we work with hundreds of schools and tens of thousands of school children in the elementary age called Kind Kids is the program. And then as kids get older, the program is called Kind Campuses. And what I started to notice with my daughter, who's older especially, was she would come home just beaming, smiling from ear to ear with a note in her backpack that a friend had given to her or a teacher had given to her, essentially thanking her for being kind or catching her being kind. And I think there's a great way of parenting, catching kids being good. And this Kind Kids program follows that philosophy. But these notes were sometimes as simple as, thank you for lending me a pencil. Thank you for letting me share your notes. But sometimes, in the most innocent way, they were so profound and touching. Thank you for sitting next to me today. I was lonely. Thank you for sharing your lunch with me today. I was sad. And these are notes written in complete innocence and with a completely open heart. And what I saw with my own kids was that once they had the space where they had the courage to be kind, once they had a way to kind of get into that space, it was addictive. Kids who were on the receiving end, who had made someone kind feel good, they appreciated the recognition. They appreciated how it felt to be kind to someone.
Right.
And then the kids on the receiving end, the kids who received a kindness, they felt so good that someone had validated them, looked out for them, was aware, recognized that they existed in whatever small way or large way. And it's a self-perpetuating cycle. Once you're kind, you are kind to someone, that makes you feel good. Someone's kind to you, that makes you feel good. And it really is a culture-changing phenomenon. So as I saw that in the elementary schools and how these kids were responding to it, it became an organization I really wanted to get more involved in.
And start helping. And there's so many things, so many aspects of what you said that we can expand on a little bit more, because it is not just a feel-good program. You're talking about systemic change, which is one of my favorite buzzwords. It's
Absolutely.
About systems changing. Mm-hmm. It's about culture changing. And one of the things I love about it's not using the words anti-anything. I think that's so important. We went back and forth about what to name the show. And I wanted it to be a very positive, affirmative name for the show, not about fear and anger, because mm-hmm. those are happening. But let's not feed that. Let's talk about healing and change and how we can move forward. I want to ask you, Jeanette, you have lots of statistics, scientific evidence to back up, or data research to back up what you're actually doing. And you probably started doing it long before the research showed up to validate everything. But talk about this connection that Dave referred to in schools, and how many people go into adulthood and are not connected more than ever. It's devastatingly high.
It's devastating. I mean, we, you know, some 20 years ago, we didn't have a lot of research in this area. But now, today, there is a tremendous amount of research that talks about kindness and compassion and, you know, what humans need physically and emotionally and what kindness does. There's a whole department at Stanford that's all about compassion studies. And there's a researcher there who's very well known. And he says, you know, the poverty in the West is not actually of the pocketbook, but of social disconnectedness. And the statistic that they quote is that 1 in 4 people, 1 in 4 adults in the United States feels so disconnected that they don't have anybody to tell a major problem to. 1 in 4, 25%.
It's mind-boggling.
Exactly. And so when you think about what that sort of disconnection can lead to as far as, you know, pain for the person individually, but also potentially for communities, you know, that's a problem that we need to look at in a very serious way. And although the topic kindness may seem like a sort of a soft issue, sort of a soft topic, it's actually one of the most
bring it on, kiddo, because nobody says that to you and gets
serious.
Away with it.
No, it's, they don't.
No,
serious
they don't.
Topics we can talk about. We, you know, as human beings have. We have a need for independence, and we have a need to feel like we're capable and we can do stuff on our own, but we have a very, very strong need for connection and to feel, you know, connected to friends and feel liked and that sort of thing. And what we're not great at doing is connecting with each other in a way that doesn't sort of interfere with each other's independence, right? So there's all this, you know, some people, if you offer kindness to somebody, you might even offend them because they think you're saying that they can't do it themselves, or, you know, there's a question of even what is kind, because, you know, it's not always kind to get right in and help somebody.
It
right?
sounds like a gentle word, and it is, but yeah. it's a strong word.
It's a strong
word. It's a really strong word. And when you add, I know I have put stuff up about Pat, you know, just go out and do an act of kindness to the earth.
Right.
You always add intentional act.
Well, we use the word
matters.
Intentional. And you know, so what I was getting at is there's a lot to this whole kindness thing. There's a lot we can learn. There's kindness education is something. It's something that's real that we can do. It's teachable. Kindness is teachable. There's so much we can learn. But we chose the word intentional intentionally because we want people to recognize that this is something we get to control. You know, with everything that's happening in our world, and specifically with events like what happened last Friday, where we feel so impacted and so overwhelmed by the pain of it all. It's out of our control, that stuff. And so we sort of desperately feel like we need something that we can control. And kindness is something we can control. And it's an incredible power that each of us has if we are intentional about it. We get to decide to be kind. And if we do decide, just like Dave talked about with his children, when they decided to do it, they felt what it feels like. And there's all kinds of physical things that happen in our bodies when we're kind. So there's that natural sort of buzz that happens when you're kind. You know, the person that receives the kindness also experiences that. Anybody that witnesses the kindness experiences it. So it's literally a ripple effect. So all of our programming offers up a framework so that people can feel safe about connecting with each other. So we offer up ways, you know, like kindness coins, where there's a little mechanism that you have in your hand that you can give to somebody and actually explain what it is. And so that sort of gives you an excuse to connect. And through these sort of ways of practicing, we actually can get good at it. We can get better at doing kindness. We can feel more confident because it really does require courage. It requires courage to connect with each other this way. And that's what our programs are about, to encourage people to have the courage to make those
connections. And once someone gets one of those kindness coins, my bracelet is in there. They really don't want to give them up, and you're supposed to. So I've given up one, and my friend Susan has not moved it. And I'm like, yeah, this is just something. It's really special. And so it's good. I want to tell you this because it is so relevant, how the work of your program is an injection and a reminder. And if you live in Tucson, it's easier because I really want to talk about the stickers on the cars, because that's where
that's
people really don't want to be kind a lot.
On the road.
So we were in the mall on Saturday. I think people were raw because it was the day after, you know, Sandy Hook Elementary. And we had to go to the mall to buy a gift certificate for my niece. And I'm already like, I cannot stand this. It's frenetic. It was like, ugh. So we went in this one store and I asked, do you have to stand in that long line to get a charge card, to get just a gift card? And she said yes. Well, then I'm in the line and like not liking the stall, and someone comes up and gets in the front of the line and they just zip her card through the machine. I got really annoyed, so I go up there and I said, well, they told me, and I stopped dead in my tracks, because the person that had told me the misinformation, she said, I'm really sorry, that's what I thought. And I looked at her and I went, no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Good job for catching yourself.
That's the impact. Yeah. That is a perfect example of the impact that this program, this mindset shift, this change. I don't want to be that person that's annoyed. What difference did it make in my life? 5 minutes? And I said to her, I'm so sorry. I said, this is the last thing you need on the Saturday before the holidays. And I said, I'm really sorry. Don't even think about it. I'm the one that needs to apologize. That's the power of healing and kindness. And it turned a really negative, I was being a pain in the neck, annoyed, like, what difference does it make? And those are the kinds of things that you're talking about, where you stop in the middle of the sentence and say, what are you doing?
Wait a second. Exactly. Wait a second.
What good does that do? Right. And what difference does it make if you have to stand on the line? I was with someone I really liked.
Exactly. And there's so much power in being able to, another thing is we sometimes say, assume good intentions, right? So if somebody cuts you off in traffic, it's very easy to just, you know, want to flip them off or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But if you use your brain and allow yourself a moment of pause, you could say, oh, wow, you know, I wonder if that person is rushing to the hospital or if they just got bad news or if they just...
They're from out of town and they got lost. That's the one I always use. Oh, they don't know where they're
going.
It's okay.
And then that settles you right down. It settles you right down. And the feeling that you have yourself is that of kindness and compassion in it. And then
you're feel
in
so much
shape.
Better.
Exactly.
But it also reminds you of what you can control. You can't control people driving in other cars. You can't control the store clerk's actions, but you can control how you respond to it.
Where is the power?
And then that's right a tremendous here. Amount of power. And I think that once you put yourself in a place where you can be kind, where you can assume good intentions, it is an empowering thing. It gives you back control over what can be frustrating and difficult encounters.
I think it's really important, and we are going to have to take a short break, but what I want to say to everyone that's listening, thank you again, and what we're going to talk about after the break is more about Ben's Bells and how it has spread across the world, and especially what you are going to be involved in on January 8th in Newtown with the parents and the community, how it reached out to you, Ben's Bells, to just really validate the impact you're making globally, because it's really important. Would this spread? It's... Oh, okay. So we got a little bit mixed schedules here, so we can go on. But I think it's really important that when we come back, we do talk about January 8th and how that community, you said it's a natural, it's magnetically, or the words you used, attracted to the Ben's Bells healing aspect for people that experience these tragedies. Please stay here with me. We have Jeanette Marais and Dave Sethi from Ben's Bells Project. We'll be right back.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some exciting news. The all-new 2013 Honda Accord is here. It's got a new level of sophistication. It's an efficiency expert, and when you drive one, you can discover how EcoAssist can help you increase your fuel efficiency. For a record 26th time, the Honda Accord has been named to Car and Driver's esteemed 10 Best list. To check them out, visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street. They have a great selection of 2013 Accords in stock right now.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill, but I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job. But that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years, and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And it's funny how for this show, every single bit of every second of the experience I am conscious of, even the music, it's like it's happy music, and we have to, I picked all the music. We have to celebrate good times eventually as we go through these stages. And one of the things that I love about Ben's Bells is that it is a solution. It is a very intentional solution. It is a methodical way. It's a proven way. It's a duplicatable way mm-hmm. to really reach people and teach intentional kindness. So let's talk about what you all are doing and how this all came to be with going back to Newtown on January 8th to deliver bells. I mean, I'm so proud to be able to announce this mm-hmm. on our radio show.
Thank you. It's
overwhelmingly happy to me.
Thank you. Well, we know what Ben's Bells have meant in our community here in Tucson, and we, because we've been through a shooting tragedy here as well, know that our community was desperately needing a way to get involved, a way to help, a way to
do
to talk or do something, to acknowledge, to connect with each other. And when the shootings happened at Sandy Hook, we didn't presume that we would just go and hang bells. We waited, and we talked amongst ourselves, and our community has been talking because we feel very connected because of what we went through just 2 years ago here. But what happened very, very quickly is we started receiving a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails and a lot of Facebook posts that said, you know, Ben's Bells need to go to Connecticut. And those messages were coming from Tucson people, but they were also coming from Connecticut people, and they were coming from people in Newtown. Now, the people that were the most closely affected are completely overwhelmed in every single way, completely overwhelmed. So the people that we're hearing from are the people that live in the community, whose kids go to other schools, who are just aching also for something to do. Our Tucson community is also feeling that way. What can we do? What can we do? And here we have something that we can do. Ben's Bells is something we can do. But we don't want to get in anybody's way. And this is one of the beautiful things about Ben's Bells, is it's something that we can do sort of quietly without anybody there having to deal with us. So we can go there and we can hang Ben's Bells all over that community, just in public places, and we can just get out. So nobody has to worry about us. Nobody has to, you know, we don't need to have any attention there at all. We're being conspicuous on this end in Tucson because we're getting our Tucson community involved in the preparation. But we'll be very inconspicuous on that end and just get in there and spread the kindness, the love that we want to spread, and then get out. We are very confident that each one of those bells does what it needs to do. It finds the people.
It will
have the meaning it needs to have for the people that find the bells. And then what happens from there is, again, complete. We use the word organic a lot. That's what we believe in this project, is it does its thing. And we don't need to force it, and we don't need to try to control it. We just provide it, and the sort of magic that happens when communities come together, when people are acting out of love and kindness, the magic will naturally happen. So because we had such a number of people from Connecticut contact us, those are the people that will receive us there. So these people and their groups, you know, their Girl Scout groups or their church or whatever, will actually be the people that help us distribute the bells all over town.
How amazing is that? And who's going?
We're taking a group of Ben's Bells representatives with us, and we will fly in and meet with those people who we're already communicating with, who approached us. And then we picked January 8th purposefully, because obviously it's a very important day in our history.
So meaningful.
Right. Very meaningful. And so this will be sort of a gift from Tucson to Newtown. The Tucson community is who is going to make it happen. You know, we are announcing ways that Tucson gets involved now, you know, and we have a list of 5 ways that people can get involved with this effort. And so the Tucson community will come together and is coming together right now to make this happen. And then it will be this special gift on January 8th in honor of our communities.
And for people that live outside of Tucson that listen to my show from around the country, January 8th is the day that we had the tragic shooting here where Gabby Giffords was shot, where a very adorable little girl lost her life. Others gave their lives. So it's a very, I have it in my calendar on repeat till the day I die, because it's not a day that I want to forget. Mm-hmm. It's a day that I want to honor all that happened and the good things that have happened in this community since then. And I would not sleep nights if I didn't give a little shout out to my team member, Kelly King, who contacted you. It's one of the first things she thought of. And I, you know, it's my radio show. She's trying to approach Southwest Airlines, who are so giving in their community sponsorships, to try and get some of the airfare covered. And that was a role that we were so, like you said, so hungry. Just help us do something. And Kelly called me Monday, and then we decided to change the regularly scheduled guests. And then you and Dave were available to make this happen. And it's something we're really proud to be a part of. And I'm sure Southwest will come through. They're such givers.
We're so grateful to you and to Kelly King, just getting
rocks
on that. And Southwest has been very, very receptive, and we will be so grateful for that sort of support. So you're exactly right. You as an organization, helping us, we have, you know, printers in town that are helping us. We have people finding, everybody's coming together. And then the ways that people can get involved are they can actually come and help us paint Ben's Bells, work on Ben's Bells. If they're from Tucson, they can actually come in our studios and get their hands on this clay, you know, that will be there. You can sponsor a bell, so people can donate money to help us get out there. We're gonna take at least 1,000 bells. And
how great is that? You know, I'm going right to my grandchildren are coming, mm-hmm. and my kids, and mm-hmm. what a great project for them.
That's right. If you know, I'd like to invite you and all your listeners to go to our website. It's www.bensbells.org, and there's a special pop-up. It's called Send Kindness to Newtown. And if you click on that, it'll take you to a dedicated page that is going to explain how you can get involved and help. And, every gift, every financial gift that's made helps us take this message of kindness to Newtown on January the 8th and continue the mission there. And there's other things you can do. You're talking about with your family being in town. We would invite the entire community to our main gate studio that is at the corner of University and Euclid, just in the shadow of the University of Arizona. Come down, help us make bells that will be, and kindness coins.
1,000 bells by January 8th. We all better get down there. I guarantee you we'll come down with my grandchildren, because we've kidnapped them for a couple of days after my daughter goes back to Taos, and they will love it. We've done it before.
Right.
And it's a great reminder of something so wonderful to do. Talk about the gift that gives back to yourself when you're doing it.
It's a tremendous way to spend some time. You can spend 15 minutes or you can spend an hour or two down there, and we welcome folks of all ages and all levels of painting ability. and it's a great way to spend some time. You can also go to our website and download a template for these kindness notes that we're going to be distributing around our community to different schools, and the Children's Museum will have some, the zoo hopefully will have some, where people can write a note from Tucson, from this community, to take and send to Newtown. But no matter where you are in the Mrs. Green's universe, you can download that template and put a note together, and it'll get over to Newtown. We'll have an address where you can send it. So there's lots of ways people can be involved at different levels.
And it makes you feel connected. And we want that. It's what you talked about.
That's the
goal. One in four people, mm-hmm. feel connected, feel like we can do something, because here we are. I was talking to somebody from Rhode Island the other day, and he said, well, you know, we're a lot closer to it than you are. And I said, it doesn't matter where you are. I said, trust me, I just didn't want to be mean, but I said, Mike, if you're a mom or a dad and you've got kids, you could be on the moon and mm-hmm. hear about this. And it's not a geographical location. It's a horrific tragedy that happened in the minds and hearts of everybody.
I think that's right. And people are so, so much in search of what they can do,
yes,
to help.
Yes, take action.
And one of the things that we came up with, the ideas of how people can help, is something that can be done in whatever community you're in. And it's just remembering to be intentionally kind as you move through your day, move through your life. I think that's an important way to connect with Newtown, with Tucson, with Aurora. Unfortunately, it's these tragedies that make us remember this core value, because it reminds every one of us how deeply we need it. Sometimes life gets going so fast that we forget, but just a reminder to take a beat and do your best to practice this idea of intentional kindness in every interaction you have.
You know, the bells are, I was thinking about this before the show, we have touchstones, all of us. I'm in Rotary. I wear a Rotary pin. You can see anybody around the world who has a Rotary pin, and it's a way, it's that entree to connect. Right. My engagement ring. I look at that engagement ring, and I've been married 37 years, and I think of the day that I was proposed to. And it's a reminder. It doesn't matter if it was a ring made out of string, it was the symbol. And what I love the bells. They are not everywhere, but when you see one and you're familiar with the whole intentional kindness message, it's great. But the stickers. You have to talk about whose idea was that. Describe the stickers. We should put one up on Facebook.
I came up with that sticker. Yes, it's a flower shape, and that's sort of our logo
green,
shape.
Which
it's
I
bright
like.
Green, right. Exactly, and it just says "Be kind." That's all it says. And we came up with it, you know, a couple of years ago or whatever. And it used to be the case that whenever I'd see a car with one on, it was, you know, I would speed up and wave because surely it was a friend of mine. I knew everybody. And now we're to the point where, I mean, you could be at a red light in Tucson and see like four.
I don't think you can be at a red light
and not see one.
And yeah. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Like, how is she doing this? They're everywhere. It's so great.
It's universal, right? Yeah,
there's definitely stories of kids, instead of playing punch buggy or, you know, I see a VW bug, now it's they see the green sticker.
Awesome.
That's definitely a game that is.
Oh. That's the that's culture changing right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have another great story somebody posted on our website where her little daughter was about 3 years old and got a tiny, like a little toy car for her birthday. And she turned to her mom and said, well, I need a green sticker for my car. You know, she wouldn't drive her little car till it had a green sticker on the back. So it's definitely becoming sort of an icon. It's
easy. It's inexpensive.
Exactly,
it's easy
exactly.
to recognize. It says the message in two words:
right.
Be kind. Got
right.
that?
And it just reminds you, right? So
when
if
you're
you
driving.
Have it on your car, if you have it on your own car, you know it's there, and you drive better. But also, if you're getting frustrated in traffic and you see another one, it helps you. Again, it's that idea that most of us are kind, but we just get overwhelmed and we get rushed and we get stressed and we sort of forget that we're connected. We sort of think we're it, and it's most important that I get to work on time, never mind the rest of you, right? I mean, none of us like to admit that we get that way, but obviously we do. You described yourself in that line.
I outed myself.
Right.
It was
right.
like, who is this person?
And so, right. And so sort of a lot of kindness is sort of getting over ourselves a little bit and recognizing who we are in this group, right? And that it's not all about us. So the whole kindness thing, there's an interesting balance between, you know, self-kindness and really taking good care of ourselves, but also recognizing it's not all about us.
And you know what?
It's about us together, and
so
that we have
important.
To play our part.
And that little incident that I described, mm-hmm. do you think that energy wasn't flowing to everybody in the line? Because they knew I was annoyed. And I was so not proud of myself. But the important thing is, because of the remembering, mm-hmm. be kind, I said, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because I was. It was like, you idiot. What are you doing? It's just... And the young lady who gave me the wrong information smiled, and I said, Merry Christmas, and I really am sorry.
You really
and
turned it around.
I really did.
Good
but,
job.
But, and I should have.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get a really green star for that. Thinking about it before I got to that place mm-hmm. is where we want to get people to be. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of children, putting it back on children and how, to me, this can not only help with the healing and putting the Ben's bells back there, spreading what I call the good Ben's bells juju and all of the right things that should conjure up. For kids, what do you think happens to them? Because I really do want to talk a little bit about bullying, because how ridiculous would it be not to? It's one of the things that faces us as a national crisis. Mm-hmm. I'm not over-exaggerating that. Frequently, when you see mostly suicides, have you read one in the past 5 years where the kid wasn't bullied, made fun of, alienated, ostracized, beaten up, whatever? So is this one of the ripple effects that can potentially happen? How could it
it not? I mean, it's an absolutely obvious answer.
It's prevention is what it's prevention. So when we talk about anti-bullying,
the P word,
we talk about, you know, we have to have systems in place in our schools for safety, for reporting bullying, and what do you do if there's bullying? And that is a very important piece, but that's the reactive piece. So the piece that Ben Spells brings through our programming is the preventative piece, that the actual climate change, culture change piece. If people learn kindness skills early, if kindness is valued, you know, and is powerful, you know, kids want to feel powerful. If they can feel powerful
about
doing
the
kindness
right
instead of feeling powerful for other reasons, that's amazing. You know, all of the, you know, sort of evolutionary studies show that, you know, we as humans, we do things because it serves us. So if we're bullying, we're doing it because it's serving something that we need. So how do we turn that around to give the kids what they need in a way that is pro-social versus antisocial? And by developing these skills, starting very, very young, and then reinforcing them all the way up into adulthood, because we know, we've just discussed about our own behaviors, we need this practice just to be something that we accept that all of us do all of the time. It's a practice. It's a lifelong practice.
It becomes innate.
Right. And then we get better at it as we practice.
I think that's an important thing to remember. This is something that you can help children develop and learn. It is something that we all want our kids to be kind. We all think we have kind children. And I think inherently we have kind children, but it is also creating a space for them where they have the ability to practice it, to see what it feels like to be kind, to receive kindness. And that's kind of what the Ben's Bells project is working on. You know, kids are no different than adults.
And they're watching what we do.
They watch exactly what we do.
They're watching what we do.
That's right. But I mean, we've all been to training sessions and courses where we're told this is how to behave, this is how to deal with this situation, and most of that goes right in one ear and right out the other because it doesn't resonate with us.
It doesn't stick.
What's beautiful about the Kind Kids program and the Ben's Bells program that is changing the way
the
people interact with
culture.
Each other, that's exactly what it is that it is an organic process that kids are seeing behavior modeled and they're modeling it themselves.
And that's, to me, the answer. I mean, it is. It's one of the answers. So you are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We have to take another short break, which we do because we honor those sponsors that make this show possible. And it never seems to amaze me how fast it goes. So please stay here with us. We'll be hearing more specifics about the kinds of Ben's Bells projects that there are. And I'd like to ask some questions about how you're going to grow this in other places throughout the country, because I think that's an important one to talk about. Mm-hmm. Please stay here with us.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected Automotive Magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero-emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road, too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Habitat for Humanity's Habitstar is changing the world. By selling new and used building and home improvement materials to the public, the Habitstar is diverting more than 250 tons from the landfill each year. To donate, call 520-889-7200. Stop by and shop today. The Habitstar is located at 935 West Grant Road. Proceeds from all the sales go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. For more information, go to habitattucson.org or call 520-889-7200.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we certainly have both a heavy heart and a healing heart today as we honor I keep searching for the words, and I pride myself on never being at a loss for words, but to just acknowledge the suffering that will go on for some time in the community of Newtown after the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I'm proud to say that the Mrs. Green's World team wanted to be a part of doing something. And we, of course, thought reach out to Ben's Bells in whatever way we could. And I would like to tell everybody that in studio is Jeanette Marais, who a son died when he was 3 years old, in case you just tuned in. And Dave Sethi, who is on the board of directors and who is a parent in a kindness school.
Kind kids school.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And I wanted to do this at the beginning, but I was so wrapped up in not trying to cry or trying not to cry. Here's their mission. So you'll know why we thought of reaching out to them. The mission of Ben's Bells is to inspire, educate, and motivate each other to realize the impact of intentional kindness and to empower individuals to act according to that awareness, thereby strengthening ourselves, our relationships, and our communities. And what I get to say is that's what you're already doing here, and you have done it, and you continue to do it, and it has changed the fabric of this community. So now you're going to go to Newtown and spread this kindness to that community in a very, very subtle, sensitive, caring way. I'm proud of the way that you describe what you're going to do. You're going to be there, be the little angels putting the Ben's Bells up. What an honor to Ben and to your family that has been through so much. So there you go, off on a little tangent, Mrs. Green. So talk about some of the other programs that you have and how people can connect with you, what the call to action is. We have time in this segment to get to all of it, but I think going through some of the other programs that evolved literally from making bells, working with clay in your backyard.
Right. The education programs are sort of the core of what we do. And the ones that are the best known are the Kind Kids program that Dave mentioned and the Kind Campus program. We work with all the way through university age with the Kind Campus program. We have a wonderful partnership with the university. And we have some researchers at the University of Arizona who are helping us really measure and evaluate and help us make it better every single year. So we are excited about that. Now, the reason we believe that this the education program is successful is because it's not just limited to the schools. So the kids are learning about it at school, and they see the symbolism at school, and they have the kindness coins of practice at school. But also, it's out in the community, so it's reinforced
in
outside,
other ways.
Right?
Really important.
So they see it on a car. There's an article in the paper. You know, you can find a Ben's Bell. So the programs are also spreading into all different worlds outside of school. So we have Kind Colleagues program. So the same sort of ideas where your workplace can set up sort of a system to practice kindness, a sort of an understanding and an expectation. This is what you want to do as a workplace. We're working on our Kind Neighbors program so that these messages are just sort of infiltrating on all the different levels that we live and work, so that the message becomes, I mean, after some time, right, just something that we are used to seeing and used to practicing, and it just becomes a way of life that this is something that we do. So the core of Ben's Bells are these education programs, and the Ben's Bell itself is the sort of iconic symbol that represents the coming together of all of us as a community toward this goal.
Right.
And that's such an important part. Anybody can go visit our website at www.bensbells.org and learn about the different programs Jeanette mentioned and all of what we're doing. But it's important to keep in mind that the bell is the icon. It's the symbol of the program. But what the program does is so deep and far-reaching. We're talking about tens of thousands of elementary, middle school, high school students in this community, kids at the University of Arizona. We're talking about having these programs in the workplace. So it is really changing the fabric of our town and our community. And the real impact of what Ben's Bells is doing today will be felt 15 and 20 and 30 years from now, when these elementary school kids are spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends and employers and employees. It'll change how they interact with each other. And that, I think, is a very, very profound thing. And it's important to keep in mind, it will not change it in the sense of being kind doesn't mean being weak. It doesn't mean not standing up for yourself.
And it's not the same as nice.
That's exactly right.
It's not.
One of the best things that happens in the Kind Kids program is Jeanette goes to these schools and talks, and often she takes some of the best athletes from the University of Arizona, Olympic caliber swimmers, for example, and they explain how they compete to the very bitter end, but they do it in a way that respects their opponents. They do it in a way that is sportsmanlike. And so it is not about weakness or rolling over. It's about being powerful and having the courage to interact with people and having the courage to put yourself out there and be vulnerable and be kind to someone or accept somebody's kindness.
I don't want to say that it's harder, but it almost is. It's easier to just snap and beep your horn and just go on the day.
No, kindness takes a lot of thought.
It takes thought. You have to be contemplative and really conscious in that, with that intention, like you said.
So because the reptile brain will take over otherwise.
The reptile brain. That's exactly right.
Sort of that, we all have that. We know what that feeling is, inside. I always like to tell the good wolf, bad wolf story. Did I tell that to you last time? Do you remember? It's the Navajo story.
Tell it again.
The grandfather's,
it's worth retelling.
Yeah, it's a simple story, but it's just sort of beautiful about who we are as humans. It's a Navajo story, and the grandfather's talking to his grandson, and he says, "Grandson, all of us, every human, has a battle going on inside of us between two wolves. There's a good wolf and there's a bad wolf. And that bad wolf is the greed and anger and rage and all of that stuff that all of us know, right? We've all experienced it. And the good wolf is the caring and the connection and the kindness and the love. And all of us have also experienced that. And these two wolves are battling for survival. And the little boy says, "Well, Grandpa, which wolf survives?" And the grandpa says, "The one that you feed."
Oh, I love that.
The
I
one
get goosebumps
that you feed.
Every time.
Exactly.
It's
so
true.
When you were standing in that line at the mall, you started to feed your bad wolf, but then you changed and you fed your good wolf. And that's what it's about. It's not about beating ourselves up for having these parts of ourselves. We are humans. We do have sort of a part of ourselves that's, fight or flight or whatever. That's actually, part of who we are. But we have this frontal cortex now that allows us this advanced thought. We can stop, we can pause, we can take a breath, and we can choose something different. And when we feed the good wolf gets stronger. When we feed the good wolf gets stronger, the bad wolf gets weaker, and it gets easier to be kind. And so that's what the practice of kindness is about.
It stops you in midair. It does when you think you're not doing it. And like I said, when you're driving, it brings out the worst in people. Very nice people like me.
Because you're sort of anonymous in your little car. So you're anonymous. So it's harder for you, Mrs. Green, to be unkind out in public. Me as well. I have a reputation to keep.
Yes, we do, because people know. And when my husband's driving, I'll say, "Babe, don't do that. We're in the Mrs. Green mobile."
Right.
But what you see as Ben's Bells has grown is that people want to feed the good wolf. Just here, but we're seeing, we've obviously been contacted by people in Newtown and Connecticut and because of this tragedy, but Ben's Bells is, I'm very happy to say and proud to say, far bigger than any, it's not a tragedy-based organization.
Right.
I think probably the best example of that is last week, days before the shooting, someone from Newtown, Connecticut came on our website and bought some Ben's Bells things to give as Christmas gifts. So
you're kidding.
This, the idea of what we're doing with Ben's Bells and the mission of Ben's Bells resonates with people in Tucson, all around the country and all around the world. And people want to feed the good wolf. And we are now finding that folks from communities all over the country who've been touched by a bell, who've experienced some act of intentional kindness, are finding us and are asking us how they can get involved near and far.
And we were in a Ben's Bells frenzy, Kelly and I. I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like,
I love it.
And what you said is so insightful. The thought I had when Kelly started talking to me about it was not, "Oh, let's pick a tragedy-based program." It was a program that is working, and it's about healing and kindness and peace. It goes to peace. If all of this works and spreads out, I believe that we could see a world that works for everyone. So it wasn't, I didn't think, oh, let's pick that poor program. I thought, oh my gosh, there's nothing that we could do better than to broadcast a program on Saturday at noon about sharing kindness when people are starving to think of something that they can do. They can still give Ben's Bells as Christmas presents. They can still come down and paint with their kids. They can share your Facebook page mm-hmm. with people that they know that are hurting. Because I cannot help but think, for anyone, every parent who has ever lived, the worst tragedy could be that they can imagine is losing a child. You have, God bless Ben for what he's shining down on us for having it happen, but you could have been a person in isolation. You and your family could have just retreated. So there is that underpinning of courage and pulling yourself up, and what did I learn from this, and the importance of connection. Is that?
That's true. And I, you know, I could have curled up. I really could have curled up. And
everybody would have understood.
And, you know, and there's actually a certain sort of pressure almost too. People say things like, you know, I don't know how you're surviving this. I could never survive that, you know, that sort of thing. And that's very scary when you're in deep grief. And so, I mean, a message I have to anybody who's grieving is you can survive it. You can survive it. But you need to be connected and have the support in order to survive it and to survive it well, not just survive, but actually thrive. It, you know, what this program has done for me personally, I can't even describe. The energy that I get back from the people I work with through Ben's Bells feeds me, feeds my soul in ways I can't describe. And it has kept me alive and kept me thriving and has given me more joy than I could have ever imagined. And that's the sort of good stuff you get through making yourself vulnerable enough to connect with people. I can now connect with people on a completely different level because I have been shattered. So because I've been so broken, I can connect with people in a different way. And that feeds me.
I believe that. I totally believe that.
It's true. I promise you that Ben's Bells would not have taken off if it was not, if it didn't have a story behind it. Good or bad, it needs legs for the legitimacy piece. You know, this is not something that's easy to survive. This is not something that's going to be easy for these families in Connecticut to survive.
For
a very long time. But they can and they will, with love and support and kindness and many, many hands holding them. And we have to look at what our culture looks like as a whole. We have to. This is the bottom line. I mean, we can talk about all the details about what happens in tragedies, but the bottom line is, how are we going to treat each other as people? How are we going to teach our children to treat each other as people? How do we want to be held when we fall? How do we want to hold people when they fall? Because we are all going to fall. We will all fall. We are humans. There's no getting out without grief. And so this is something we can actually do for each other. We can actually do this for each other. This is an active thing. So when you are in, you know, Michigan or Florida or Texas right now, what you can do right now is be kind to the next person you see. And you can't think, right?
And you can't middle and end of it.
Right. And you can't think that, okay, I'm being kind to this person at the grocery store in Texas. That has nothing to do with Connecticut. It absolutely has something to do with Connecticut. And that feels a little, you know, disconnected, but we have to believe that that's true. That when we choose kindness where we are making a difference that spreads and that creates that fabric that we're talking about, that makes those threads of connection between all of us that make the net that holds us up when we fall down.
And I like to do a little plug every chance I get for people that are listening and wondering what to do, because I'm a mentor. And so we did this great mentoring program, and we're going to help these at-risk kids, and we're going to pick a really rough school, and you know, we're going to go in there and just make a difference in their lives. The biggest difference it made was in my life. And this young lady continues to be in my life. So I was going to be not in a condescending way, a do-gooder, mm-hmm. but really give back. And isn't that nice? And the rewards to me and my family have been like a bazillionfold to have this bright ray of light in our life. So it's one of those things for people that are listening. I am all about mentoring. If you gave an hour a month, it's not a big deal. And this country and our children are starving for that kind of connection. go and visit a person who's isolated, elderly, disabled, not able to get out there. There's so many things you can do. Let's give a shout out one more time for the website that they can visit. And just God bless both of you. And Dave, I'm proud that you're on this board, proud that you're my friend. Jeanette, proud to know you. The light that comes from within you is going to help shine on this country that needs some bright light.
We're grateful for your light, too, Absolutely. And all that you
Thank
do.
You. Thank you very much for having us.
What's the website?
So the website is bensbells.org, and you can go there and learn about all the different programs we've talked about. You can go there and help us further our mission of spreading kindness both in Tucson, throughout Arizona, throughout the country, and especially now on January 8th in Newtown, Connecticut.
It's going to be great. And I tell people who listen from all over the country, I have a regular base in Hawaii. When you come to Tucson, go down to Ben's Bells.
Sure.
It's something to put on your list of tourist attractions because you'll never forget that experience of doing
that.
Thank you very
much. So really, good luck. Very, 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 very blessed journey to both of you. And we'll stay connected on Facebook and share with our listeners how that was.
Wonderful.
Make it a great green day. We're dark next week with, we have a repeat show because our whole family wants to spend time at the holidays with each other.